Greg, I am so happy to be at your home this coronavirus season. You know, it's not over yet, but we're getting there. I thank the gods working through this. So excited that you accepted the invitation to interview you. You are an instrumental person in my life that's taught me so much wisdom that every time you are wisdom, you always tell me where it comes from. It comes from scripture, it comes from God. And I just completely appreciate that. You mean a lot to me, to my family, so on that sometimes my wife tells me, go see Greg. Talk to Greg. Have you talked to Greg? I never have that. So I just, you know, first and foremost, I want to say how thankful I am to God for ordaining this friendship. And he's ordained other friendships, and I'm also really happy with that because he replaced all the family I didn't have. So again, I just want to say thank you for accepting this invitation.
I love you, brother.
I love you too. We met about 2 years, somewhere in that range. Yes. And when we met, I was coming into Raising a Modern Day Night. That was the first experience I had with you and the church that you attend, and I do men's Bible studies. And that was a life changer because that was a moment that I knew where I belong.
Amen.
This is an awesome podcast that God put in my heart. It's called Benching in the Kitchen. And I'm interviewing people that just came into my life and they threw a nugget, and it was just so deep because it's not something they just told me, it's something they live. As I was reading scripture, I asked God, what is one verse that I can utilize for this? And that was Philippians 2:12. And I want to ask you what your understanding of it is, what you get from it. And it reads, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
That verse, to me, is one that I know I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I know that I have been saved. Being saved and having salvation, it is not as though you do not have a responsibility to demonstrate that love by making yourself available. You know, there was, I think of the, when they use the term working out your salvation with fear and trembling, Jesus took care of all of that. It is not what I do that is going to assure me salvation and spend eternity in heaven. Jesus did that for me. But because I love Jesus, because I'm continually reminded of the transformation when I became a Christian, it was unrecognizable, the person that I was then and the person I am now. And so I just am so grateful for a God who didn't give up on me, loved me first.
Wow, that's pretty deep. And like I said, I never stop learning from you. And what you just told me, it's so true. It reminds me of, you know, faith without works is nothing, and works without faith is nothing. And it's true. Jesus took care of all of that. And from that, we don't do it to gain something. We do it because that's how much love Jesus gave us that we just want to give it back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing. So I want my listeners to get to know you a little bit. I know you. I don't know everything about you, but I know just enough to love you. That's all I care about. You know, we've all had things to happen, but I just know enough to love you. Tell me shortly something about you, your name, if you work, if you have any kids, if you're married.
Well, my name is Greg Mangus. I live in Fallbrook. I am married. My wife and I, Eleanor, we will celebrate 47 years of marriage in the month of July. I grew up in Fallbrook. I graduated from Fallbrook High and joined the Navy. And after 30 years of service, I had to get a real job. Anyway, so I put another 20 years in and now have retired to an avocado orchard. And that's one of the things that I do in addition to working at Riverview Church in Bonsall. I'm involved in the men's ministry. Just love the opportunity to, you know, make myself available as God would choose to do, you know, do whatever it is that I can do, glorify Jesus.
Thank you for sharing. That's so cool, because that's where I met you. I met you at Riverview Church, and it is such a great church. Everybody's welcoming. I've gone to other churches, and this one, it was just amazing. I remember our time that we spent in the mountains, the retreat.
Yes.
That's the day that my relationship with Jesus solidified. But it was because of the men, watching men from different races, different cultures, just come together and say, hey, we left that down at the bottom of the mountain. Up here, we're all Jesus lovers. We're all Christians. Briefly, if you can share with us, when did your relationship with Jesus begin?
Well, I was raised Catholic and was an altar boy. Went to the parochial school in Long Beach, California, and also at the San Luis Rey Mission. I had a lot of Catholicism growing up. When I left Fallbrook and joined the Navy, so too did I leave any religion in my life. And I adopted that lifestyle of a sailor that was happy to spend weeks, if not months, on end at sea. But when I came into port, I was nothing but of the world. And what the world would tell me was, you know, what I should be doing. My mother, after my dad passed away, visited friends who were Baptists in Arizona. They led my mom to Christ. She, after a month and a half, came back to Fallbrook, brought all of her children together like a hen bringing her chicks, and explained to us that she was no longer Catholic, but was a Christian. From this day forward, her prayer will be daily for each one of us to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I attribute much of time in the military, where I had people coming to me who were Christians and continued to approach me about, you know, well, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of the Bible? And wanting to spend time and talking. And I was making a conscious decision at that time to reject Jesus, thinking to myself, I love my life. I love what the world has to offer. And I was making specific choices that were contrary to what I know now as a Christian. But it was incredible how God continued to bring people into my life. And I know that my mom continued to pray that I too would one day come to a point where, you know, I would accept Jesus as my Savior. That eventually happened, where my wife and I recognized that there was an emptiness in our relationship and we wanted more. We Pastor Banyan at First Christian Church in Fallbrook came over and led my wife and I to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and we were baptized there that very Sunday. That happened when I was 27. Next month I'll turn 70. The sanctification process that occurs once you accept Christ, I can just see how this incrementally moving toward God. You know, I was a drinker, and he took that away from me. I was a smoker. He took that away from me.
Mesmerized by your testimony of giving all the glory to God. The old self wants to take credit for, look what I've done. But as we become Christians and we become into this deeper connection with Jesus, more in love with Jesus, it all changes. You know, we don't give glory to man. We give glory to the one who created us, the one that knows everything about us. And that's what I'm inspired constantly. We haven't seen each other in a while, and I was like, something is missing in my life, and it's Greg, is the men that are around me, that iron sharpens iron. Amen. I hear you saying that constantly to other men. It's like, and it's like, maybe to them sounds different, but to me it sounds like, come on, man, get up and keep on working, keep on, you know, being profitable. That is awesome. I read in a book for school that no one can take your salvation. You know, there's nothing in this world that can take your salvation. And I just love how you were saying that. But we also got to be profitable. How am I supposed to be a great witness to my family if I'm not continuously working on putting away the old self and bringing up putting on the armor of God? Greg, I want my listeners to get to know your daily routine. We all have one. You know, I get up in the morning, I read scripture, I try to bring in God in every aspect of my life now. I'm no longer compartmentalizing or putting them on just in the evenings or just Sundays. So, and that's what this podcast is about, is providing steps that maybe someone can pick up, you know, those little pearls of wisdom. Maybe one thing works for them, one thing works for another person. But talk to me about your daily routine. What happens when Greg wakes up in the morning? And let me know throughout the day, what is it that you do? How do you dedicate your life to the Lord?
Well, I normally wake up around 5:30 to 6. I've always been early to rise. My wife, you know, she sleeps in a little bit later than I. So it gives me some quiet time in the morning. First waking up, I have adopted something I heard from a pastor, that the first thing he does is he welcomes the Holy Spirit into his life. Holy Spirit, come and indwell me for the day. And I just love that, because, you know, the gift that God gives us each day, how am I spending that day? What am I doing? And so I may have these plans, but ironically, God has a plan too. And so then the question is, am I going to make myself available for him, or am I going to choose my own path, exercise the permissive will that he allows us? That's the real challenge, which is something that we talk about with the men, about good and best. And that's where we have to strive toward best. And stop allowing good, which is the enemy of best, to have its way. So that's what I like to do, is just make sure that I recognize that this day is a gift. I want to be available. I certainly have things that I have written down on my to-do list in my day planner, but it is not written in stone. If I get a call, if there's something I know I should be doing or could do, I want to make myself available for that. You know, for all these years, my wife has dutifully gotten up, and you know, I could be leaving to go to the ship, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you know, she would get up with me and make me breakfast and so forth. And so what I have done is, and this is a result of our Robert Lewis study about 30 to 33 series, it talks specifically about in the marriage, volume 5, it talks about dying to self. That is a concept that was very difficult for me to understand. And now God has revealed, you know, what that means. So it's not about Greg. It's not about me. God has given me a wonderful wife and a wonderful family. I have to ensure that my focus is not on what's in it for Greg, but being focused on the other, showing love to the other people around me. and being available for them. And so that's a key thing, dying to self so that you are able to put others before you and not worry about your own satisfaction, not worry about your own, well, if I do this, that means that I can't do this. And think that through, be able to move forward, living the day out in a way that glorifies God and showing His love for my wife. My wife loves the fact that around 7:30, quarter to 8, I'll bring her a nice hot cup of coffee, and she'll wake up to the day with a hot cup of coffee. And then after she has a few minutes, I'll go into the kitchen and make her breakfast. And she continually reminds me that she doesn't expect me to do it, but I make her feel like a princess. So, you know, I've been doing that for the last year or so since I retired, and expect that to become, and as it has, a ritual, because it communicates to her volumes. Her love language is acts of service. And so acts of service that I can show her cements the love that she knows that I have for her. I love the fact that, you know, the day is now, I'm able to just focus on her, because for so many years in our marriage, she has focused on everyone else. And now it provides me a chance to show her, to demonstrate, to be deliberate in showing how much I appreciate her, how much I love her.
And I'm still amazed how you still have time for us. You know, I really enjoy that, and I thank you. I'm not complaining, because I do enjoy those moments where you answer the phone. But I just enjoy how you're open to that, to servitude and being there for others. How important it is for you to set time apart for all of your day to read scripture and to check on others.
It's important that I have that quiet time in the morning to just be grateful. Before I feed my belly, I feed my soul. You know, that helps me put it in perspective. You know, it is so easy to get things, have things go sideways on you or not plan out. I think about, I don't know the, you know, it was like a 17th or 18th century pastor that communicated that he had so much to do today that he had to pray that much more because he had so much that he had to do. And kind of recognizing that it is not you and your individual talents that God has given you that allows that you to view that as just going off on your own, and but to God, you know, Jesus wants a relationship. You know, we read in Genesis how God visited Adam and Eve in the garden. He, you know, He wants to be involved. He wants to have a relationship with each one of us. So that time to start off the day, it's just a reinforcement. You know, God, I need you in my life. I need you here today with the challenges that are going to be presented. Help me to be discerning of, you know, anything that I might say to someone that I not, you know, speak from Greg's heart, but I speak from, you know, your heart. Make myself available to glorify you.
I know if I ask this question, you're probably going to tell me, well, it's the whole Bible. But what is your favorite verse or book? How do you understand it? How do you live that verse? What is your go-to that when things go a little sour or when things are really cool, what is it that you go to that reminds you of the love of God?
I would say that I love Proverbs, and I read, you know, I think that it was part of God's plan. There are 31 days in the month, and there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And so that is my go-to reading each and every day. There is so much wisdom, and I love the idea of wisdom. And, you know, God is so gracious in the way he imparts wisdom to people. One of my my favorite verses is in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So there's two things that are there. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, that healthy respect that we should have for God. Just understanding that God is, you know, the fact that he wants to be involved in my life is so, it's just so incredible. And so I love wisdom, and I love chatting with people. You know, wisdom doesn't come from academia. It doesn't come from people who are, you know, schooled. It comes from God's word. That is the wisdom that I see. And so I love it. Love the opportunity to spend time with men who also spend time with God, and God has imparted into them wisdom so that, you know, that can be shared and not lost.
Besides your Bible, are you reading any other books? What other things do you utilize to feed your soul and your mind to connect you deeper to God?
Well, right now, one of the challenges that, if not a burden, is the fact that understanding the fundamentals of the faith and understanding what are core doctrines so that we can be wise in looking at ministries and ensuring that certain ministries may not be edifying to the Lord because there's false doctrine. So I think it is very important that we understand and have a full grasp of the essentials of the Christian faith. We can discuss those that are non-essential. You know, we can discuss dancing, and we can talk about tattoos, and we can talk about, you know, are you a pre-trib, post-trib, pre-wrath, you know, all of those sorts of things. We cannot take the essentials of the faith and compromise in those things. And, you know, we see it in our culture today. The challenge is that what was right is now wrong. What was good is, you know, this culture war that is going on. It's just, I think it that much more important that we are grounded in the faith, and that we're spending time with the Lord, that we're spending time with believers, that we are investing in relationships that we can be assured are profitable. And when investing in relationships, because I need to get my batteries charged also, and I love the time that we spend together. And I also know that as we are making ourselves available to communicate to the world about the gospel, you know, you can only do that so much where, you know, it's like the doctor who only sees sick babies, you know, the pediatrician that all they see are sick children being brought in. A person needs to see healthy, thriving children, and we need to ensure that we see healthy, thriving Christian men with healthy, thriving marriages and family, so that it just reinforces to us God's grace and mercy, that we are able to, you know, continue to stay on course, do that which God has, you know, ordained his believers to do.
Let's talk about the end of the day. Greg's tired, you know, he helped all these brothers in Christ, he's been there for his wife. What is the last thing Greg does at the end of the day? What's your last step before you go to sleep?
Well, I note that as I lie down, sleeping is the easiest thing I do. You know, I am like a creepy doll. When I go horizontal, my eyelids shut, and you know, my wife would say that a minute, 2 minutes, and I'm gone. You know, if she had anything that she wanted to say to me before the end of the day, it has to be said before I go horizontal, or else you know, she has to wait until the next day. So when I do lay down, thanking him for how he's revealed himself with things that occurred, and helps that he has provided me, or you know, brought someone into my life that, you know, has the solution for some issue, or is ready to help. But also, I have to ask him to forgive me if I have not been available. I just hate to think that, you know, at the end of the day, that I've not made myself available. So I ask for forgiveness if I'm leaning so the Holy Spirit were not deliberate enough or intentional enough for me to pick up on it, but then ask for him to give me another chance tomorrow. You know, that is that's the thing that I think is so great. God's the fact that, you know, every day we have a brand new day. Maybe yesterday wasn't my finest hour, but I've got a new day with God's help. It very well be, it may be that finest day of my life.
The first interview that I had was a pastor from a church in Oceanside. And when I asked him this question, he said, well, in the morning, the incident of me waking up, and I didn't hear that. I heard it after I was post-editing. And I went back and I'm like, did he say incident? And he said, and I called him and I said, hey, I just want to make sure you meant to say incident. And he's like, oh yeah, I meant to say incident. It's an incident that I woke up, and I'm grateful for that incident. If I get up without pride, then, you know, I'm full of myself. But by calling that incident, I am giving all the glory to him. He's allowing me one extra day. So as I spoke to you earlier, everybody that I talk to has the same thing. And I do the same thing. I just close out my day like, thank you. But I just want to let you know, please forgive me for my shortcomings, because I know I'm not perfect. But that motivates us for the next day when we wake up. We're like, hey, today is a new day to do better, to do his will. Well, the last question I have for you, Greg, I'll combine these three questions into one. What is one area that you're continuing to surrender to Jesus, and why? And one last pearl wisdom for our listeners. What would that be? That you can say, this is what I received from God and it works.
I became a Christian when I was 27, but my life back then is not the life that I lead today. There was a lot of me in the 80s and 90s as I was focused on my career in lieu of focusing on my family. So there are things that, you know, with my children, their relationship with Jesus is distant. And so I have a burden as a father. Two of the three daughters do not attend church. And it's a burden, because all you have is what you leave behind or you send ahead to heaven. And that legacy, I want a legacy that is glorifying of God. And so I'm grateful and hopeful that as time passes, maybe not with my children, but with my grandchildren, I can bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that they, you know, don't make the same mistakes that their dad made, to you know, be deliberate, making sure that they understand what is important and what is not important. The fact that this, what the world has to offer, just does not compare to, you know, God, what He wants for us. And so that's what I look forward to, and I have hope that I will continue, and in God's perfect timing, there will be that opportunity for my two daughters to have restoration, and it will be a sweet, sweet time when we can once again talk about Jesus, there is an, you know, that affirmation, and because that's what my life is all about. It's about Jesus and what He's done for me, and that has to be my focus, and I, you know, would covet your prayers that there would be that time going forward when there is a restoration in my two daughters.
I think that's all we want. It's an inspiration too. God puts people in different stages of our lives, yep, to let us know, hey, learn from Him as He learned from you. So definitely I want the same for my family, to leave the legacy of knowing Jesus, not knowing of Jesus. Like, there's a Jesus, so then now I want them to have that deeper, intimate relationship with Jesus. So when we get to heaven, we were like, oh, I knew you were going to be here. It's just a matter of time. Yeah. Yes. You know.
At His perfect time.
At His perfect time.
He's never too early. He's never too late. He's right on time.
Yes. Yes. And that, you've imparted that on me so much. And I've learned a lot from that. It's God's timing. And now I tell people all the time, it's God's timing. Yes, we want everything fast. We want to put the food in the microwave, 2 minutes later it's warm. Doesn't work like that with God. You know, He has, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And it's just so amazing. Well, I gotta tell you, Greg, we come to the final part of our podcast, and I'm just, if no one else gets anything, I just got fed. I am so happy, so full. I missed our interaction. We used to meet every Wednesday, and I missed this. I'm so happy, so joyful right now, because God's restored this moment, and we serve the mighty God. So I'd love for you to close us out in prayer.
Father God, we come to you. Lord, we turn over to you, and we just pray for the young man or young woman or the people who will hear this broadcast, the podcast. We just ask that you would soften hearts, and that you would give a keen understanding to the people that hear this about how much you love them, and how you are all that's really important, that there is so much that we are challenged by in this world today. But those challenges diminish as we become closer and closer to you, and we start looking at life through your eyes. And it just is such a wonderful experience. And Lord, so now we ask that, you know, you would just bless the people who are investing the time in their life to hear this message, and that you would help them to understand and implement things that are profitable for them to do. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful for what you've done. And then we just ask that you would bless us, bless our marriages, bless our families, bless the people that are listening to this podcast now, that Lord, you would be glorified, and that you would be rise above everything else. We just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And my last thoughts are just, if you're around or if you're in that Bonsall area in San Diego County, you want to meet Greg. You know, he's at the Riverview Church in Bonsall. He'll greet you with a great hug. Well, not right now, because it's 6 feet distance. But when this is all over, his smile is contagious. And, you know, we do men's Bible studies on Tuesdays. And we're there, and they're accepting of everybody and anyone. Anybody's welcome. So for more information, you can always reach out to me via the email. But thank you so much for listening.